Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast, a place for conversations with church leaders about social media.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Jay Kranda. Jay, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm excited about today's show.
Yeah, so we're talking hashtags this week. And so we're going to talk church hashtags, how you can use hashtags, what is a hashtag, and how you can utilize it. We just saw hashtags like crazy at the Super Bowl. Any of them that stood out to you, Jay?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously hashtags have been around for a while, and it's just a way to filter conversation. And it's so interesting because, like, I was reading this article, and obviously they had that awkward, you know, the good and bad, but they had that, I don't know if you saw that Nationwide.
Yes.
You know,
and your kid's going to die.
Yeah, your kid's going to die. I was watching it with, I was watching the game at a friend's house, and our kids were playing, and all of a sudden one of my friend's son walks in the room, and the son, who's like four, says something about like, oh, what's that? And sees a boy his age, and then, and my friend's like, oh, watch it, let's see. And then all of a sudden it got dark. And so the funny part was, it was super awkward in our room. And I don't know if it was awkward when you saw it, but I was like, oh, that's like, a downer. And then to see the Twitter reaction of just people like, you know, what in the world's going on? And there was all this negative marketing buzz associated around that. And so you have people in rooms with hashtags, obviously, like planning things, and we plan it, you know, if you're part of a business or a church, you're like, oh, this hashtag with this series. But then no matter how much planning you work, Nationwide did not plan for all that negative reaction. So that was one of the, like, you know, the big no's around that. But like, just looking at it, some of the things in this article on CNBC, and I'll tweet out the link on the socialmedia.church accounts, but around the idea of, like, you know, around 66 commercials, there were about 33 of them that had hashtags associated with them. So like these planned marketing strategies. The other thing that was interesting around the hashtag is that only four of them had Twitter and Facebook logos on their ad. So the interesting around hashtags, they almost felt like it was more important to have a hashtag than to have a logo. So it's almost like culturally there's this, like, the shift of like, well, duh, we're on Facebook and Twitter and all this stuff. And you know, Instagram was a no-show at the Super Bowl, and Snapchat made its first appearance. And so with hashtags, obviously that's like the guiding thing that all these media companies wanted. They wanted to have conversations with their customers, and hashtags were kind of like the big winner. Now, I don't know how much of it is like new, but there's obviously, you know, if you're spending, you know, $4.5 million per commercial and you have a tag, there's people in a room somewhere probably smarter than us going, hey, we need to have this and we need to talk. And some of it you can control and some of it you can't control. Like the left shark thing. Were you up to date on that?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been watching that, and see, I saw that on Mashup this morning. Whoa, where the conversations continues.
Yeah. Katy Perry plans this whole elaborate concert, and then like one shark on the left is being goofy, and like there's a whole tag, and like Mashable had a whole thing about the tattoo. Right. Somebody had a tattoo. I don't know why you would ever get a tattoo, but obviously hashtags, you know, are still, I don't know, I come and go with hashtags because I'm like, yeah, that's a great way to have a conversation, but I have a hard time. I don't know, Niels, if you know your learnings in this, is that I have a hard time because how do you force a hashtag? Hashtags by nature just seem organic conversation. So I never want to select a hashtag. I would rather come into a space, see what's happening, and interact with the hashtag that people are using. I mean, what do you think about that?
Yeah, you know, that's a great perspective. I didn't know those stats on the Super Bowl with hashtags. Of it's unbelievable. And I think the other surprising factor of hashtags is that we can't own them. We can't control them. So we can create a hashtag and anybody can jump into it, say anything that they want. As I'm a controlling leader by nature. And so I think that's the fear of a lot of ministry leaders with social media, is whether it's on your account or somebody else's account, you lose a lot of control with social media.
You do.
And everybody now has a voice. And so companies that are advertising are basically saying, we're going to start a conversation and everyone's going to have a voice about our product, about our brand. And then a lot of people are going to be confused of, is this from the brand or is this from somebody else, but what is their friend saying about it? It's an amazing connection that's happened. And that's what I loved about the Super Bowl is we were in my apartment here in New York. You can hear sirens probably in the background here throughout this podcast, because that's just part of life here. in Brooklyn. So we were here, and our neighbors, we got neighbors from France, they only know rugby. They didn't know football. Mm. And then our downstairs neighbors, one of them from Vermont, one's from Boston, not football fans. So I was in an anti-football room, yet I was able to have football conversations with friends using the hashtag Super Bowl, you know, and really being able to connect with the world through the hashtag that I don't know if anybody created. It just kind of started.
Yeah.
So it is a crazy phenomenon, hashtags. I do want to step back, though, and even talk about what a hashtag is.
Yeah.
You know, so I think everyone sees them, and I love it was interesting even with my neighbors where they would talk about a hashtag, and they're like, what is a hashtag anyway? I hear Jimmy Fallon talk about it all the time. Yeah. And so you see like terminology, but making sure everybody knows what a hashtag is. And so when you see that term in social media, and it's primarily, it started on Twitter. Now it's popular on Instagram. They have them on Facebook, but nobody really understands how they work on Facebook.
Yeah.
Including me, probably you.
I don't. Me too.
So people put them there. It's interesting. But so you do a hashtag and then any kind of word. And if you click, so a hashtag is a pound sign and then a word or a phrase. And if you click that phrase, and it's all got to be, you know, simultaneous, you can't have a space in between there. You can see what everyone else wrote. And so if you do hashtag Super Bowl, you can see everybody else's tweets or Instagram posts around that hashtag. And so for churches, you'll see, just like you talked about, you'll have a hashtag for a series, you know, so like, you know, Book of Psalms or something like that. And that's a series you're doing. So anytime anybody tweets about it, they can join a conversation. I actually was at Saddleback a couple of weeks ago, tweeted the hashtag from Rick's sermon. Yeah. And it was probably my most retweeted tweet from Saddleback members who were just following the conversation.
Yeah.
And I got a ton, you know, ton of new followers at that moment. Of Saddleback really seems to do a great job in those sermons of engaging that hashtag. And so it's an interesting dynamic, but that's kind of how hashtags work, but they work well and they work terribly at different times. And I think it's an execution. Some of it's luck though, too, I think.
I think some of the, you know, and obviously hashtags, and also add, hashtags work really well on Instagram. That's kind of, that's just one of those things. It's actually one of the ways, if you want to grow an Instagram account, you just start tagging a lot. And it's really odd because obviously on Twitter, you're limited to your character use. You can't tweet that long.
Right.
And Facebook, you can tweet really long. You can post really long. But on Instagram, the thing is that you might see a two-line sentence, but you might see like 25 tags. And the reason is because that's how people find each other. And I think that's one of the hard things with Facebook. Facebook is doing tags, and they're kind of forced to because all these other accounts are doing it, and that's what people are doing. And with all the interlinking, you know, I want to post from Twitter to Facebook, to Instagram, to Facebook, they kind of had to. But the problem is that Instagram, I can search on a tag and I can find anybody that's using the tag. Twitter, I can search and find anybody who's using the tag. Facebook is a closed network.
Right.
It's only with the people I'm friends with. And so by definition, like, okay, maybe I can look through everybody that's using this tag with my friends or something, but that's like irrelevant. You know, that's the power of a hashtag on Twitter and Instagram, is that it's connected to a global audience. And so everybody's tweeting about, you know, I don't know if you do this, you know, something that's comparable on Facebook is the trends. You can see what's trending on Facebook, but that's only on desktop right now. That's not even rolling out to mobile, or maybe it is. I know they roll out things to batches of people slowly. But yeah, I mean, I use hashtags a lot also, not just for guiding conversations, but it's also like I tend to do this now, even in text conversations. I think that, I don't know why I do that. I don't know if you do that. Maybe I'm the only friend that does that to you, but I do that a lot with like making a joke hashtag, and I add something to it. And it's almost like I'll make a joke and the hashtag is like contextualizing it. I don't know.
Well, and I think that's one of the funny things about hashtags is you'll see people just make up a hashtag. And I think that's what's created a lot of confusion is, you know, hashtag, I live an embarrassing life. You know, and it's like, that's not really a hashtag. They just, and so I think those are kind of pointless hashtags, but it's just a funny part of how we communicate. And I get it. You know, I use another program just for, you know, the way we collaborate at Community Bible Church. We use a program called Slack, and Slack integrated hashtags into it. So as we have a conversation internally within CBC, we can use a certain hashtag around maybe an event or an activity going on, and it filters all of those comments. So it's interesting how hashtags have really expanded out into multiple networks. I personally like how Facebook does it because I'm more interested in what my friends are saying about a topic than what a bunch of random people are. And I also think that Instagram is a little obnoxious because people hashtag so much, where Twitter is so limited, you're only going to use one or two hashtags, and so it's going to keep a conversation focused. Yeah. What are there any specific hashtags that you've used or you've seen really well done or executed?
Yeah, I think a couple things on that. I tend to use hashtags that I in networks that I associate with. So, you know, church hashtag church online church, or hashtag social media. And I look within my friends what they're using, and I tend to capitalize on that. And so I think that's the first thing. Whatever community, it's good even for networking. You know, if you want to get introduced into a conversation, start using that. The hard part is now because obviously these networks are, you know, lifelike in like how big they are. You have to even have smaller hashtags within topics, and so I tend to gravitate towards what my friends are using so much. But then the hard part is even privately. Then it's not even happening on Twitter anymore. You're just texting, or you're having a reply conversation. And so I tend to just dive into those networks and then gravitate towards a couple, but I rely off of kind of broad ones, the hashtag church online, hashtag online church, hashtag social media. And then I kind of spot, and I think that's a big thing. And I was curious what you do on this, because really on engaging your community, especially with social media, if that's what we want to do, like at your church and brands that you interact with, you know, it's so important for us here at Saddleback. I notice we're really good at that. Like, we are aware what hashtags are people are using, and we have a team, and we even have volunteer teams that engage on that level that are trained to reply. And so you got to be, you know, very proactive, because there actually might be spins on the hashtag, and we have teams around that. Do you do that as well? Does your church have a volunteer team, or do you even the organizations you work with, are people in charge of that? And then you get other people engaged to be proactive and watching what changes even, and then engaging in the big one.
Yeah. You know, that's a great point. We have found very little success around hashtags up until maybe 2 months ago. And so we've done a few hashtags here and there. So we've tried a few where we'll do a series and we'll use a hashtag, and it will be just me and our social media manager using it. And so people really weren't using it. But I think the problem is we found that the hashtag was changing so often. So even when people got used to a hashtag, then we introduced a new one, yet we never really talked about it. So we'd maybe put it in the bulletin at the most. We never put it on the screens. We never really utilized it. We would just use it, and then people would find it 2 or 3 weeks into the series, and then it was over by the time they remembered it. So I think we struggled on that level. So what we've done now is we've moved to just one hashtag that we use all the time for one of our services. So our hashtag is hashtag CBC Central. And that's three of our services. It's the venue that they meet in. And so everything. So even when we change series, it's the same hashtag. Yeah. But that community, and it's probably more of our younger demographic. Yeah. And those services are really used to it. We're announcing it from stage. We're putting it on the screen. And you know, I would say the master of hashtags is Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
And that's where you hear about it. But he will announce a hashtag. Hey, use this hashtag. People will use it. It will trend most likely to Twitter just because of the platform he has. But then he will refer back to it and say, hey, let me read some of these. So he creates then that momentum from the announcement of the hashtag to the use of the hashtag, and he'll engage in the middle of that, plus then the announcement of it back on that broadcast media. So he creates that dynamic through the use of his platform.
But he also moves on too. He lets hashtags die.
Yeah.
Like, that's like the craziest thing. Cause I think of it like as brand awareness, like keeping one. Like, I love the idea of having your church name. Now, part of that is sometimes you don't handle, you know, if you can keep your church's name, then you can also have the same, you know, / you know, URL accounts on all your accounts. Right. But sometimes you don't claim all those, and maybe it's different Twitter to Instagram. So it's just, there's so many things there. That's why I know if a new thing pops up, you want to at least claim your name. But the thing about Jimmy Fallon, it's just crazy how much people engage in it, and then he just moves on. It's just like, that's part of it. He just realizes, you know, those hashtags are, you know, very temporary. And that's just the, you know, I was even looking up you know, like hashtags that he's just started, like my hashtag, my superpower, hashtag, my weird relative,
right?
Hashtag, why I'm single. And the stories are like, honestly, that's like one of the funniest bits. Yeah. And the fact that he relies off his community, right, is crazy to think. There's right, like a team of like probably 20 writers, right, and they're reading through the community's hashtags and figuring out. And then he posts it on the website for people to read later. And then he lets them die, and then he moves over to the next week. That's just such a crazy thing that the Tonight Show is doing that.
Yeah, yeah. And they're leading the way. And I think we all see it. They've made hashtags popular. And it is a great resource if utilized well. But I think the reality is that it's not for everybody. Not everybody has, you know, and it's definitely not going to work as easily as it has for Jimmy Fallon. A couple of, and I would love any best practices you might share, a couple best practices I would say for a church using a social media is, one, keep it short. And so, you know, the especially with Twitter, you only get so many characters. Having a short one is key. The other is make sure other people aren't using it significantly. So you don't want to pick a hashtag that a ton of people are already using. Your conversation is going to be lost, and it's going to be pointless. So make sure it's short. It's easy to remember. And that nobody else is using it. Any other thoughts from you?
The only thing I would add on to this before we move over to things that are trending is the reality that make sure that it's not being used inappropriately, because I think generationally things can mean different things.
Yeah.
And so we've had hashtags selected, or people have mentioned things, and then I look within, I'm like, oh, you have no idea what that means.
Yeah.
And so that's really important. So even, you know, depending on your team dynamic, ask a couple people in different generations, hey, does that mean anything? You know, and just be like, you know, do I not know? You don't want that. Especially you start, you know, you can add different widgets to your website and so forth, and you can do filters for things to be up, and you just don't want the wrong things to show up. So just make sure it's appropriate, and, you know, it's just collectively get more people involved.
Yeah. You know, we have somebody on our team who is one of our youth volunteers. And so every week she shares with us some of the new terms. I feel like an old man saying, that is the stupidest thing. So evidently that's tight is no longer a thing, even though it was 25 years ago when I was a teenager. And so it's a different, it's crazy. You're right. That's a great perspective.
Well, you just dated yourself right there, but anyway.
And I don't know if I'm really 25 years, but maybe 25 years ago. So anyways, things that are trending, what's trending in your world, Jay?
Well, I think the big thing that I, you know, just the reality of how big the Super Bowl was, that's the most watched TV event ever. No matter what you feel about it, you can talk about a no call, whatever, should have rushed it. I don't care. Pete Carroll, he's an aggressive guy. That's what he does. Anyways, you can't have both and. But regardless, you know, the place of live, I think, you know, obviously trending, we have Netflix, Hulu, and all those things are just realities. We're not telling that they are. That's what people expect. Even our church, you know, I'm online pastor church. We have live and we have on demand, and more people, 70% of our people watch the on demand service over the live. That's just a reality. That's what people want. That's what we're moving towards. But then you got the Super Bowl. The Super Bowl is the most watched live event. So there's no doubt, no matter what you think about on demand, live is not dead. The hard part is figuring out the place alive and how to leverage that wisely. The hard part with most churches and organizations, they want to have too many live events, and they're trying to make the Super Bowl every week. And what's the place of that? But I wanted to ask your opinion, like, is live dead? What's the place alive? You know, obviously we're sports fans, so live has a place there. What do you think about that?
So I think live is absolutely not dead. I think it has a place. I think, you know, it, honestly, and we at, you know, with Community Bible Church do a ton of simulated live. I think that's what you maybe see less and less of.
Yeah.
Because even, you know, I would say I'm big on The Apprentice, and they're having to release things, you know, like two episodes a week, maybe three episodes a week, because people can't wait a week for a 1 hour show anymore. They want it right away. And Netflix has created that. Yet there's things like the Super Bowl, and there's some events that just, you want to experience at the same time as everyone else, you know, and I think it's just a reality that now I think even as churches, as we consider broadcasting our services live or making them on demand, I don't think it has to be an either or. I think it can be on demand.
Yeah.
On demand is easier. There's less complications. I think about the Super Bowl maybe a couple years ago when they had the blackout, you know, and so that made for awkward TV. And I think you've got to always, so if that wasn't live, if maybe that was delayed for some reason, we wouldn't have had that gap. They could have just then, you know, pushed the gap together. So there's, you know, we live though with Twitter trending, that things we find out about things instantaneous. So we can't wait, you know, like there's some things that just need to be live. But we also have to understand that with live comes a lot of technical difficulties and challenges, you know, and just kind of even talking about the speed of Twitter and how that, you know, sometimes I wonder if Twitter is faster than the broadcast, you know, TV, because I feel like I would get a tweet immediately and then the play would happen sometimes. And so it's crazy the speed at which we become aware of things now.
Yeah. And I have to turn off my phone if I'm watching something, a sporting event, because I just don't want to be aware. I don't even want to get a text from you. I don't want to get harassed about the Lakers losing, or whatever, you know. I don't even watch games anymore, but, I know in the next, maybe next week or the coming weeks, we'll do a whole segment about live and sim live and on demand. That's something that we definitely need to talk about and next amount of time. So I just wanted to thank everybody for watching this week, or listening on iTunes. You can learn more about the podcast on socialmedia.church. I want to thank Niels for being part of this. And my name is Jay Cranda. And stay up to date on the website, on Twitter, and tell more people about it so we can have more conversations. Thank you so much, and see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Social Media Church Podcast. Stop by socialmedia.church for the show notes and to learn more about Social Media Church. Please share this podcast with a friend and leave a review on iTunes or wherever you may be listening.